This is a Gorilla Podcast Network production.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's the Backyard Knuckle Show.
Backyard Maker Show. Maker Show.
We speak that real.
Peace. Beautiful people, interweblians, welcome back to the Backyard Mecca Show. BackyardMeccaShow.com on the all-new Gorilla Podcast Network. I hope everybody's doing well, man. We're back with another one, another great show. Today we got a special guest in the house, man. We got my brother Moyo. Moyo, what's the deal, brother?
What's going on?
Man, listen, I don't know if you want to give out your real name, you do the Moyo. So, I mean, you know, I didn't know how you wanted to do that, but, you know, that's up to you, man.
I appreciate that. My name is Tony Bermudez.
Mr. Bermudez.
Yes. I go by Moyo. It's a childhood nickname and my DJ name. And it's funny, especially, I have a lot. You can tell who knows you from what they call you in life. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure you can associate with that. But yeah, Moyo, you definitely know me as Moyo.
Yeah, man. Moyo. Me and Moyo are actually friends, man. Longtime friends from Norwalk. You know, he's from Norwalk. I'm from Norwalk. And pretty much a shout out to Nelson and Rich, man, which are my god brothers. That's where I met you from. You know, up in I used to be a little rugrat up in St. Paul's with my parents, and you guys were always the older cats I looked up to, and in the basement with the with the Public Enemy joint on the wall and all that. You remember the graffiti and all
graffiti.
That? Yeah,
Shout out to Rich Most.
Rich Most. Peace to Rich and Nelson. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I owe Nelson a shot. I told him we gotta laugh about old times, and I owe him a shot. So that next shot's on me, man. Shouts out to I've probably known Nelson longer than. And not to interrupt you, but longer than most people. I've known Nelson since I was 3 years old. His mother and my mother were friends.
Yeah.
And some of my earliest childhood memories. Shouts out to the Mejias, man.
Yeah, man.
Just took me back.
Yeah, that's my, and you know, the God bless her soul, you know what I'm saying? Rosa, their mother, that was my godmother. You know what I mean? Her and my mother were best friends. Actually, my parents brought Rosie to the hospital to give birth to Nelson.
Wow.
So it goes back that far, yeah. So I've known them forever, man. And yo, it's kind of crazy too, because your son and Nelson are real cool too. I always see the pictures and stuff, so that's beautiful.
Shouts out to both of them. Him and his wife. They adore my son, man.
Shout
Sandy's
out to
awesome.
Sandy.
And actually, I DJ'd their wedding, man.
Oh shit, that's crazy.
Yeah, we go back. Yeah, man, it's funny. It's funny how you and I really don't know each other.
Not like that, yeah.
But know each other, for quite some time, right?
It's love off of the vibes,
you know what I mean? Absolutely.
And it's always been a respect, and you know, we always want to work with each other, and here we are, man.
Absolutely, I'm really happy to be here, man.
Thank you for being here, man. We could go all day about the Norwalk stories and all that, but let's move on so we can get this show going, man. But yeah, man, we finally got you up here, man. You know, I want to talk a little bit about what you do, who you are, your thoughts on things. But real quick, what we usually do on the show, we talk a little bit about current events and shit like that. You could curse too, just so you know, just in case you curse. It's no biggie if you don't. But yeah, man, let's I kind of wanted to talk about a few things. We actually talked about some of these last week, but I think they're still relevant. And I want to know your opinion, man. How do you feel about this whole R. Kelly situation, man?
It's been current. This is like night three, and it's been recent for me. I saw the show. Yeah. I watch a lot of documentaries, a lot of it, like when I'm cooking.
I haven't seen it yet. I still got
to take a peek at it. I did see it. And it's a very interesting question because I've been asking people. I'll tell you how I feel, but I'll tell you what I've been talking to people about. I mean, by all means, if you have a question regarding it, I'll answer that is what I'm saying. But what I'm saying, the conversation with me has been very much me asking people, do you separate the man from the music? Because I'm a DJ, and I mean, we'll go in whatever order, but just to stick on topic, that's where I'm at with it. Because some of the stuff that's disgusting that you hear, like that's not an argument. That's not a debate.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And do we respect women? I mean, the people I surround myself with and that I'm having these conversations with, that's not the topic. How we feel about the acts and alleged acts or whatever you want to call it, whatever. My thing is because of the way that it affects me, do I separate the man from the music? And even though I want, and I've been saying this over the last couple of days,
yeah,
I got bangers that I love, stuff that I grew up on, stuff mm-hmm. that, you know, like when you're putting together that bedroom mix, you know, there's songs you include that have to be, you know what I mean?
100%.
They're part of that list.
Yeah, yeah.
But now, and the people closest to me have been saying, and I'm still digesting it, is that has some of that, the meanings of those words change, or not really change. Are you viewing them differently mm-hmm. based on what you know now? And mm-hmm. for me, it's the music aspect. You know what yeah. I mean? That's all. I think on another note,
before you go on, I want to actually touch upon that. Does the music, do the words have a different meaning for me? For me, it's yes and no. My mind's telling me no. It's yes, because obviously if he was doing all that, which he was, and I'm going to say it off the rip, like, you know, I think the dude's a pervert and all this stuff. For example, it's been going on and he's wrong for a lot of things. But I want to get into other stuff that I feel about that too. But about the music, yeah, I feel it changes a little bit, because yeah, was he singing that shit to, you know, young girls and stuff like that? But then no, it doesn't change it, because when I was experiencing that, listening to the music and feeling that about somebody, it was somebody my age.
Agreed.
My experience, you know what I mean? So you're not looking at that perverted way, you know. So some people are gonna say that, be like, ah, oh, whatever. But yo, that's just how I feel, and that's how it is. A lot of people feel like that though too.
That's why it's hard to let go. For me. Yeah. I got music is a soundtrack of life mm-hmm. it, to me. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I attach. My sister says it smells. Everybody has something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And biologically, there's probably one more than the other, whatever. But for me, it's because of my musical journey personally.
Yeah.
It's all a timestamp of different aspects of my life.
Absolutely.
So when one of my heroes, and these are, you know, I'm a Mets fan, a Jets fan, a Knicks fan, all of my heroes are people who go through pain.
Yeah, yeah.
When one of my heroes goes through pain, it's like a bit of my childhood is altered, or my youth, or my, yeah, whatever, you know what I'm saying? So it's more than just the what's been debated on the networks and what they're going to charge him or whatever. And I know you're asking because it's current, but to me, that's how I feel it.
Absolutely.
You know, the music. Do I want to separate the music from the man, and do other people? Yeah, I'm getting other people's opinions on that basically right now.
Because listen, when everybody was talking about it online and, you know, talking shit about him and shaming him, and I get it and all that, I put up a simple post. I don't know if you saw it. It was on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite R. Kelly song? I just wanted to see how people were going to react to that.
Because
I do that a lot. I don't know if you know that. I'll throw shit online. I like to open up conversation. Sometimes I'll do that and I won't even say shit, and I'll just let people go. And it'll go 200 comments. And you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I'll go in, but I just put it out there because I want to throw that curveball. Like, because the way I'm looking at it, look, this happened years ago.
Yep.
And he got crucified years ago. He got, you know, he got reprimanded a little something. He, you know, whatever.
Yep.
So now I feel like, okay, if you're bringing it back up, I get it. The whole Me Too movement is very popular right now.
Yep.
Okay. So, all right. Maybe that's sparking people to come back out and open up. But if it's new stuff that we didn't hear about, all right, cool. But I really do feel it's this Me Too movement and things like that that are bringing things up. Because why didn't you say this 20 years ago? I know people are going to say, oh, but there's trauma and you got to go through this and that.
Yep,
I get it. But you know what, too? Like, I feel if some of these girls that were doing this, they're groupies. You know, let's straight up. Not all of them, but some of them are groupies. Now, if they would have gotten their way and whatever, older women, younger women, whatever, slept with him or whatever.
Yep.
Or that, you know, he spent riches on them and shit like that. They might have not ever said anything. Maybe because they got turned down, they felt some type of way. You know, this is just a maybe, but this is what you have to look at. You have to look at everything.
Yep.
Like, the dude 100% is a pervert for the shit that he did do and things like that. But yo, you have to look at every angle. You can't just take one topic and not dissect it.
Agreed.
Whether you agree with it or not, you have to come at it as an intelligent human being.
Agreed. And what I wanted to allude to before was that my desired outcome is for, you know, these women, girls, to be safe.
Absolutely.
And absolutely, out of an environment that's toxic for them, if it is toxic for them.
Yes.
And if there's a punishment, I mean, we all have our, there's some things that are obvious, I don't, but if there's a punishment to be doled out, let him pay his debt. But at the end of the day, what are we doing to fix people like R. Kelly?
Exactly.
How can we put him in a position where he's like, I've been through a lot, and have that success story and be able to go out there and have that punishment coincide mm-hmm. with him going out there and having to talk to kids or women or artists mm-hmm. or whatever in order to contribute back to this society, with given the fact that he's done so much damage on so many levels. You
but
know what I'm saying?
But that's the other thing. Everybody that's shaming him and talking bad about him just want to crucify him, but they don't want to offer to help fix a man that's still our brother.
Yeah,
he's still part of us. He's still part of the culture. He's still black and brown. Like, he's still a human being. Are you just gonna abandon him and leave him like that, or are you gonna help, man? And that's where, you know, that's my issue, and that's why I throw my little curveballs in there.
Yep.
Just because I want motherfuckers to think.
Absolutely. We have to. Yeah, we have to. We gotta be compassionate, man.
And
it's hard to put his name and compassionate in the same sentence for a lot of people. And I understand.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, yes, he was a victim too.
Yeah, he was molested as a kid.
So
from what I heard,
like,
too. Yeah,
you know.
What did you say?
We'll leave it there, though, man. I just wanted to, you know, poke at it a little bit, man. I brought it up. I brought it up last episode. And my brother Lou didn't really know too much about it, so we couldn't really dwell on it.
Yep.
And you know, dissect it. So yeah, man. So all right, cool, man. So, and then the other thing we actually talked about that I kind of want to talk about too, because, you know, Lou again wasn't too into the current events at the time.
Yep.
Is the wall, the whole Trump wall thing, man. I want to get into that with you. I know you got your insight on that. How do you feel about the wall and everything going on, man? How do you feel about you know, Trump saying when he first got elected, because, you know, just to sound good, like all the politicians do, they make promises that they can't keep, that Mexico was going to pay for the wall and shit like that. So and how do you feel about everything with the you know, the immigrants and being in these training camps? And yo, there's even these kids that have been died in the hands of these officials, FEMA or whatever the fuck, you know, immigration officials. Like, talk about it, bro.
All right, so I will go down a very deep rabbit hole, and we will be here all for 3 days. But if you guide me, I will absolutely tell you how I feel about, you know. But since you said the wall, I think there's already a wall. I see it in between me and a lot of people that I care about when we have this conversation.
Okay.
So in a metaphorical sense, you know, I'm trying. I that saddens me. At this point in my life, and just seeing the apparent truth about people that I care about and respect.
Yeah.
All right. So that's just a little play on wording. I answer your question, but that's the first thought that pops into my mouth.
True.
That's the first thought that pops into my mouth whenever somebody says that word nowadays. Mm. Now, just to give a little bit of background, I was in the Marine Corps. I've seen refugees firsthand. I've seen people walk across a minefield, blown. This is like no exaggeration. Like, people walk in bloodied. A group of 16 people in the family, from granddad to people younger than my son, like, do something that I've never done, and I would probably assume you've never done, in order to get some taste of freedom on a level that I'm just realizing now how much it applies and why it makes me so compassionate and sympathetic for somebody who's trying to escape one thing in order to get into a different space. All right, now once we go down the road of legalities and black and white, you know, thinking of, but it's against the law, they're illegal or legal, that's a different conversation.
Yeah.
But coming from a military background, and the way I see things socially and economically and whatever, I do understand the term border security, and the way that I think that, you know, our current, whatever you want to call him, is trying to, he's our president, I'm gonna be respectful of, you know, what he's trying to put out there. So the problem is, he is trying to keep a promise which he made, and whether you agree with that promise or not, he's trying to feed that base. Whether you agree that those people are the majority or not, that's another conversation. But that's what I see what's going on. I do value border security. Mm-hmm. I think if you really wanted to drill down, I'm for amnesty and work that out from there out. You know, that just makes sense for me. You know what I mean? I don't think that all of my suggestions would be necessarily constitutional, but there needs to be a starting point.
Yeah.
And come on, look at our background. You know what I'm saying? I'm Puerto Rican. Somebody shouted me out today. It was like, you're Puerto Rican. It doesn't count. But my parents were, but I took it lightly, and it was somebody respectfully that does respect me, and we were having a conversation. But my point is that, you know, I'm still, my parents were still first generation here in a different land. And I know a lot of people that, you know, it all touches us in different ways. And I think that's why it's a hot topic. But as far as the wall is concerned, I'm not sure a physical structure is the solution. Yeah. I'm more about technology if you want to watch those. Mm-hmm. I do believe that you can't bulldog your way into another nation.
Yeah, which this country always does.
If you ask me if I love America, I say yes. Why can't you say yes? Say you love America right now. Say it.
Understood, but you know at some point, you know, I had a conversation while I was in Puerto Rico, actually, about it with somebody who was very passionate on the Trump side, ironically, on the island of Puerto Rico, and he equated it to somebody just not walking into my house. And I was like, all right, I got the right to defend my house, and I totally understand that and respect that. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, if you're having a horrible time at your house and you're asking for help, how long before you're going to break into my house where you think is a better space, mm-hmm. whether because I have food or opportunity or money or whatever that you think that you need to feed your family or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. It's a metaphor, whatever. Yeah, yeah. But the point was, at what point as a man, as a father, as a, you know, do you start compromising certain values? And I'm not making excuses for people to come in here illegally or whatever, but I just... It's very complicated for me, especially with my background, having seen people come here and struggle and have worked with people that are illegal. Mm-hmm. We've both been in the club scene. You see barbacks and mm-hmm. you just, you know.
Everything.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's good people just like there are bad people. There's some people who are citizens here who probably aren't as good people. You know exactly. what I mean? So.
All right. So that this is my take on it. You know what I mean? I also agree that there should be some kind of control. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. Some kind of security. You know what I mean? There shouldn't be, you know, fucking rapists and murderers and killers and like people like that coming in.
Yep.
But just like you use that metaphor that homeboy used, that, you know, that's like someone coming into your house. How many times have you run out of sugar and you had to go to your neighbor's house?
Absolutely.
And ask that. See, so the reason I'm saying that is because, okay, not all of those people are murderers and killers. Like you've seen in some of these videos, man, you see there's mothers holding babies with jugs of water, these little kids. And so, you know, it's like we're supposed to be a human family at the end of the day, too. You know what I mean? Like, and I understand there's the right legal way of doing it, papers and all that. But guess what, man? My parents, just like many other people, were immigrants that came here. My mother's from El Salvador. My father's from Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. My father and mother got their papers after 35 years of trying to get their papers.
Mm-hmm.
So when all these people jump that you see online and wherever, even in normal conversations, say, oh, they should do it the right way. Man, listen, the right way is a lifetime.
It takes a long time.
So some people are willing to risk their whole lives to feed their children and come here. And that's where I have the issue with. And I get we still have to be, safe and everything. But listen, man, there's human beings that need our help. You know what I mean?
You bring up a very good, it's the tone.
Yeah.
It's the tone of the conversations.
Yeah,
all right. I don't want anybody here illegally. I don't mm-hmm. want anybody here that's unsafe for our country, for
absolutely
our communities,
not.
For our babies. We're both fathers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the tone of, look, man, I am no way on the left. Mm-hmm. But what ends up happening is we have these conversations and I find I'm talking to people and they happen to be from the right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's such a lack of compassion that
yeah.
I have to defend what appears to be more left leaning than I actually am.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I understand.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And what you're saying is exactly how I feel. It's about the lack of compassion. I feel that there's a moral deficiency
mm-hmm.
on that side of the equation, man.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, just take a breath. I understand the terms. I understand border security. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand, you know, but the tone and the promotion of people not having compassion for other people,
mm-hmm.
other Americans, however you want to identify that,
mm-hmm.
is what troubles me. And it's gotten worse over.
Yeah, yeah. And then the thing with Trump is, too, like, the problem with him, like, you know, yeah, him wanting to do the war and all that. The problem with him is that he's
right under the toilet.
A bigot. He's racist. The dude is racist himself. You know what I'm saying? So it's not all about safety. You know what I'm saying? It also has its racist agenda. You know what I'm saying?
Well, to touch on that, and I know you actually don't vote, right?
I don't vote.
Yeah, yeah. So no. And I, because you're like disgusted with the system.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't believe in it.
Which,
at all.
But you have a reason for not voting, and you can articulate that.
Oh yeah.
So here's my issue.
Yeah. And I also put footwork in the community. I just don't talk about it.
Absolutely.
You know,
and I've seen that content, and I've heard you talk about it. So we don't.
There's lots of people that will criticize like that and not do shit. I can't agree with you either.
Well, so, I don't agree with that. I vote. You know what I'm saying? But I've heard you have this conversation so many times that I understand, respect, and know where you come from on that note. But my point is, because you brought up the racist, I wouldn't say I don't think he's not racist, if I can use as many double negatives as possible. But what I mean to say is that that's not even a factor for me, because I'm still stuck on the tone and trying to realize what's actually being said. That there's a lot of people that I talk to that I care about, and they're like, yo, he's racist, we should impeach him. And I'm like, yo, that's not how it works. So you got to get, you know, that's cool if you feel that way, but there's a lot of people who only stand on that.
Exactly.
And don't understand the inner workings and what's being argued today, you know, and how that affects us, or, you know, whatever topic of the day it may be, or whatever the case may be. You know, you can't get mad at the president because the price of gas is up. You know what I mean? You can't give him credit because the stock market is doing, like, these things are they're not even part of the equation.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's a different conversation. So I'm glad you brought up the racial aspect, and I'm glad we got to mention the fact that, you know, how you feel about voting or whatever. I think a lot of people have an opinion on something that's a hot topic. Learn what matters and what doesn't, so you don't get blinded and programmed with the thought of the day that they're feeding you. So that you can really understand what the undertones are and what's going on. You know what I mean?
I'm glad you put it that way. The thought of the day, that's pretty dope. Because that's usually what it is. People will just run with what they know or what they've been fed, and they don't really go research themselves. So how about this? Did you hear about the veteran that put together a GoFundMe page? And he got it up to $20 million
for the wall
out of $1 billion. So how disturbing is that, bro? That, all right. So I get it, like, because you were a veteran too. But to me, the way I'm looking at it is, okay, you're a veteran and you got probably millions of people to donate, which is, could be my neighbor, which, you know what I'm saying? Yep. Which is kind of disturbing in a way too. But but you have this government that has many veterans with PTSD that are homeless, living on the street and all that. Instead of him doing something like doing something for the homeless, he did a wall. Instead of showing something love to it, you know, even though I might not agree with the whole, you know, whatever, government, army shit, whatever, he could have did something to uplift his brothers instead of try to, the way I look at it, bring down, you know, other humanitarian person or whatever, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So that boggles me, man.
What gets me about that is, if it is about border security and if it's a national issue, I didn't even think of it this way. Why not direct the funds that way? I mean, I know that our service members are not paid enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if that's the case, screw the wall. If you want border security, make it so you can put more people at the borders and get them some money on it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what makes sense. I don't know what's going to solve whatever problem they're trying to solve. The reason I get confused with the wall is because they say that this many threats are coming through daily, and then you find out that it's that those numbers don't necessarily apply. It's not as scary as
all the time,
you know, as they're trying to pose it. So I don't know what the solution is. I don't even know if it's a problem.
Yeah,
it might not be a problem.
Exactly. That's what they're saying. Scare tactics, mongering scare tactics.
Yeah, dude. But no, to your point, it's ironic how you can get such a polarizing issue and get $20 million on such a short amount of time.
Yeah, you know what though, and not the. You know, it is what it is, but GoFundMe is actually refunding everybody because they didn't reach the goal.
Oh.
So is that good or bad? I don't know. I mean, to me, it was a worthless thing to raise money for. But, you know, see, and we could go deep, man, because, you know, even with the whole government, I believe black and brown people should not be fighting for the rich white man and their monopolies. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's a whole another conversation in itself. So... You know, I just wanted to kind of touch up on that because, you know, everybody has a different input, man, and I appreciate your input. And, I don't know, man. That's something I think very serious that's going on, that's going to change. This year, something real big is going to happen, I feel. Something big is going to happen where everybody's lives are going to change somehow, man. As a matter of fact, the 18th of this month, January 18th, is the Indigenous People's March in Washington, which I'm going with my nephew and my son. My nephew that's here from Costa Rica, I'm going to take him out to...
I saw the video. He's still here, huh?
Yeah, he's still here, man. So we're going to go out there, and, you know, I'm going out there to network, to try to meet other black and brown people, other people that speak their minds, other people that are trying to mobilize in the community and help the community. Because that's one of my biggest things that I try to tell people. Like, we don't need to reach out to politicians and government to help one another, whether it's in this community, across town, across fucking the country, even in another country. We don't, you know what I mean? That's what they that's what they distill in us, so we feel like we need them, but we don't. You know what I'm saying?
Our school system teaches us to be employees.
Yeah, yeah. It's a prison complex. We were talking about the other day. It teaches you, yeah, it teaches you how to be a worker, not a boss.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Absolutely. But the things, and what I'm finding now, I'm 45 years old, there's a lot of people that I'm surrounded by are critical of the government and the stuff that we're talking about, and mm-hmm. don't realize that we're all part of that same machine. If we if we supported each other and had belief in each other rather than getting so stuck on the thought of the day.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, look at what we're doing, you know, and how long has this been in the works? Even though, you know what I mean? But I mean, whatever. It's just a small step, but a great step and whatever. But
absolutely.
My point is that too many people are worried about getting to work tomorrow, even as they're complaining about their circumstances and don't realize that they're being put in that.
Yeah,
that same flow.
They're being manipulated. They don't even know it.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get it. So, I get it. And not that I'm not, and I, you know, it's funny how I hear a term and I like it.
Yeah.
And then I don't like it anymore. Like, it's not like I'm woke. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I'm not. I don't subscribe to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not even, it's just, you know.
Yeah, because we, you know, like, that whole woke shit irritates me, to be honest with me, man.
It kind of tells me you're not.
Yeah, 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 because it's like the people who are really woke aren't saying it as a trend and then they stop saying it next month.
Yeah.
There's real people that are conscious and actually trying to do stuff in the community that, you know, they know. They're
I'm eager to learn. Yeah. I'm eager to learn. Tell me more.
Yeah, yeah. I want to learn, and I want to learn so I could teach. Because if I'm teaching somebody else, they're learning, and then we all, get better off of that. But
Absolutely.
I'm going to leave that wall conversation with this, man. I said it last week, man, because it's something I had read one time. We don't need a higher wall. We need to make a longer kitchen table. You know what I'm saying? We need a longer table, man.
Amen. Let's eat together.
Yes. That's pretty much it, man. But yeah, man. So, all right. We went in on the current events, man, a little bit, which is good, man. I want to get into Moyo now, man. Let's talk a little Moyo, man. Talk about yourself, brother. So, first, let's get into... you have... I probably have the wrong name for it, but you have a Facebook page where you do a lot of... What is the name of it?
Oh, Parents Trying to Figure It Out. It's a group on Facebook.
Yes. Can we... can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure.
It's very interesting. I've skimmed through it and stuff, and you showed me links and things like that.
Yep,
but
yep.
I just want you to, you know, go for the interweblians and the people listening, if you could break
it
down.
Wow, all right. So it's kind of evolved. All right. So I was working... Oh, I was working at Toys R Us. I wouldn't have said that if it wasn't for their current... But yeah, I would say a retail, whatever. But anyway,
okay.
I was working at Toys R Us. I was a supervisor there. And there was a guy that kept coming in and asking me questions, and he wasn't buying. Finally, long story short, he was like, I want you to come work for me. And I worked in the babies department, and I knew I was leaving Toys R Us, and I knew I was going to work for him to sell some high-end baby gear. So I started a group of just like my friends, mm-hmm. and like giving them like coupons and backdoor like stuff to Toys R Us, free diapers, and whatever coupons were out there. I was trying to develop a following of parents, gotcha. Because I knew I was going to go to this other business.
Gotcha.
And I wanted to capture that audience of people who were parents or had kids who were having kids or whatever, anybody who was just in that realm or whatever the case may be. So that became that. I went to that company. That company actually didn't do it very well, and I left that. But I had a group of people following me that were like, you know, with young children,
because
it all applied to them. Diapers, baby food, specials,
of course.
Events, whatever. So I just kept it. And at the time, I was a new dad myself.
Mm.
So now it was something about, you know, gluten-free muffin recipes, whatever playgrounds to visit or events that were coming up, whatever the case may be. That kind of evolved, and I got out of kids and went into other aspects of my career, and I didn't want to lose that group.
Okay.
And actually, the first name of that group was Parents of Infants and Toddlers. That's how it started.
Okay.
So I came on one day, and I figured out that as a dad, I had a lot of things that I had dealt with and a lot of things that I was currently dealing with that I thought were just good topics to stimulate dialogue, what you were describing earlier.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you just put something out there, whether you agree with it or not, just to see what people are going to respond to and what they're going to say. And now me, you know, being a dad, I'm a single dad. I'm a Latino single dad.
Yes.
I'm a, you know, call me a snowflake liberal single dad, you know, whatever category I fall into,
yeah,
there's always stuff that falls into like parenting in some way, shape, or form, or just growing, or relationships, or the court system, or something, just to get other people who can relate who are in my situation. I'm also a younger dad when it comes to my crew, my peers.
Yes.
A lot of them have kids having kids at this point in their lives.
Wow. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I got nieces and nephews. One's in the army, one's in college, and the other one's a senior in high school, and they got a little cousin. So I'm kind of late to the game.
Okay.
And the page now has pretty much become me trying to speak to me 20 years ago.
Wow.
So that dude who doesn't know how to make, you know, gluten-free pasta, he might find a recipe on there.
Gotcha.
Or a story about appreciation, or, okay, you know, positivity, or he might be about to put his hands on someone.
Yeah.
That, you know, just on an emotional tip.
Okay.
And maybe, you know, something he reads or sees or hears might be like, maybe there's a better way, you know? I was very uninformed at a point in my life,
yeah,
where if I knew a little bit more, I probably would have made different decisions.
A lot of us, man, I think.
No, absolutely. But on this tip, it's more as a single dad tip.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And since you're bringing this up, my biggest message that I want to come across there is I'm very passionate about the state of the family court system.
Okay.
And everybody in my life kind of feels the same way, you know, just to put it out there. But and anybody who has gone through that, you know what I'm saying? But it's a hustle.
Yeah.
It's a hustle. And I think a lot of times, especially as men, because I'm a man, that's the way that I've experienced it. The dude who doesn't want to be accountable for the things he's responsible for, I don't have any sympathy for that dude. I'm not talking about that dude. But there's a lot of dudes, the majority of the dudes, almost all the dudes that I know who really care about their kids.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, how do we get from here to there and get the best interest of the child is what we always hear, right?
Yeah.
And none of those players involved care about the child, bro.
Yeah, because if they did,
they really
do
don't.
What they would.
There's and I know, all right, and if I may.
Absolutely.
Just to one thing, the article, I think it's called Article 4 of the Social Security Act, all right? And I may have that a little bit twisted, but there is a law that gives back dollars on every dollar that child support collects.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So there's a percentage that goes back to that office. So this system is designed in the interest of trying to accumulate as much money every year in order to get that kickback at the end, be it for a fax machine, be it for another agent, be it for whatever. That office needs to fund itself.
So at the
end of the day, all right, look it up, because you're probably the kind of guy to look it up and understand it even better than I do.
Yeah.
But these guys are sales guys, bro.
Yeah, at the end of the day,
So... And that's government, that's, you know, whatever. That's another conversation for another day. But there's a lot of guys that, my point in bringing that up, and especially on this page, is for people to be aware if there's something that you can figure out on the outside, on your own, and be more mature about it.
Yeah.
And figure out how to work together, you know, and parent. A lot of people say co-parent.
Yeah.
Just parent, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Just parent.
Yeah.
And figure that out. We could teach each other to have better emotional responses and make better decisions when it comes to dealing with those things. So if you look at that page, you'll see a lot of stuff that kind of goes in that direction.
And I was going to ask, do you, as you know, the one who runs the page, do you see a lot of interaction, people on there hitting you up? I
do. A lot of it is people interjecting their opinions about whatever is on there. A lot of people share. Sometimes it could just be a picture of your kid's first day of school. We're parents trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not that serious. It never is. But I'm glad you bring it up, because it's something I'm passionate about. I started with 40 people. Mm-hmm. I think I have like 494 people.
Nice.
And it's just grown. Like strangers come out of nowhere. No, and
From now how you explained it to me, because I didn't really understand, you know, myself.
Yep.
From how you explained it now, it's something that I feel, you know, is needed. Like, it's good to have that in the community, even if it's just on a page online where people could come, like you said, post stuff, share things, share thoughts, share ideas about parenting. Because as parents, we're, you know, it's every day it's a new learning experience, you know what I'm saying, with everything in life, you know what I mean, especially parenting. I mean, you're managing another little human being, basically.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you're trying to do it at the best of your ability, and obviously we try to give them a better life than we had. You know what I'm saying? So that's pretty dope, man.
There's definitely an emotional intelligence aspect that I think is lacking in children, adults, and even some of the adults that raised us as adults.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And that's the space I come from.
Yeah.
And I to your point when you say about the politics and how you try to stay involved whether you vote or don't vote or whatever, I try to be as actively involved as a parent as I thought I never would be. Mm-hmm. I was the president of the parental advisory committee at my son's school. Okay. They used to see me there regularly. I was privileged to work from home for like two or three years.
Okay.
In the last 2 or 3 years. And I was very active in there. And I have a direct line on my son's principal.
Nice.
And I've been there for political nights when they want somebody to just speak and advocate for the parents. And
nice.
It, to your point, man, every little contribution, you know what I mean?
Everything
and of course
counts.
I have my opinions. And to answer your question, which I don't think I did, I do get people who hit me up. A lot of them hit me up privately, especially on the sensitive topics.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's a small community. You know what
it,
I'm saying?
Trust me, I get it all
and
the time.
I get called out because a lot of times people think I'm throwing shots.
Yeah.
And the truth is, because I've learned, I save a lot of stuff. You probably do this. I save a lot of stuff. And then when my phone's getting too full, I just throw it out there. So I'm not even going through that right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
oh,
it was still something relevant that I absolutely wanted to put out there.
Okay.
Yo, I put dirty jokes on there. Right? You know, we're adults.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, but it's a great network. And it's made me, it's been fun to maintain. It's a different side of me.
Okay. Now I'm gonna ask you something, and you could answer or you can't. You know how I am, man. We
go ahead, man.
We take things left field, right field.
Let me take a sip while you do it.
We get a little deep, but so you said, you know, you kind of started it, the page, because you kind of wanted to give something to the younger you, knowledge type of thing, and things like that.
Yep.
Now, do you feel any of your relationships have kind of guided you that way too, where you maybe, let me see, how do I want to put this? Like, did you experience anything in a relationship where you might have gotten the idea or passion to do something like this as well as trying to feed the younger you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like you said, there's parenting and co-parenting. Don't co-parent, parent.
Yep.
So it was there ever, you know what I mean? Any whether it was a relationship you had or your parents, you know, just a relationship in your life that you've seen or something that, you know, made you want to do something like this.
Absolutely. Probably every relationship, to be honest with you. My parents' relationship.
Yeah.
My relationship with my son, my son's mother. My sister's relationship, my friend's relationship, some of my friends' lack of relationships.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think so. I'm Puerto Rican.
Okay.
And I grew up in the 70s, and you know, brown and black people, I like how you said that, we were taught a lot of bad toxic stuff, bro. Like you know, what you can't talk about, what you shouldn't talk about, how you should shouldn't talk about. Phrases are thrown around like respect. And I don't think most of the people who champion, you know, you're going to respect me or I'm going to make, they don't even know how to define the word.
Yeah.
Like, how do you measure that? What do you mean when you say that? So it's all about the lack of emotional intelligence in a lot of people that I looked up to and a lot of people that I've been in relationships with.
Mm.
Doesn't make them bad people.
Yeah. Everything's a learning experience.
And
man.
Shit, if I'm not flawed.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I
carry a lot of bags that I should have put down a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that is, shit, let's be clear on that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? For anybody.
I think we all do, man.
Yeah, no. But,
absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of, I'd be lying if I said if it wasn't other relationships that inspired me to open my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, educate somebody as well. And, what you said before that, I want to be educated and I want to learn. And I want to open up dialogue with somebody or anybody who's willing to post, even if it's a stranger, to let me know, you know what? I don't necessarily see it that way. You know what I'm saying? Some of the closest people, if you look on that page, some of the closest people to me have had some, we've the ones doing the back and forth. Cause like I said, some of the topics are sensitive.
Yeah.
So people don't comment. Cause they either think I'm throwing shots or they, you know, it's a small, you know what I mean? And it's not, I'm just trying to spark the dialogue.
Absolutely.
So surprisingly so, it's been some of the people, and sometimes offline, that I have the conversations that are more difficult with are people the closest to me. And you know what? That's great. Cause
it starts conversations.
No, but those are the people that make you grow. Those are the people, I've learned a lot from that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And truthfully, there's some people that, you know, kind of took some things the wrong way. I'm sure you've experienced that.
Yeah, yeah.
As a result of that page.
All the time.
Who kind of, you know, log off or block me. Or, I mean,
oh, yeah, yeah. From your page. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean.
But all right. So we're on the parenting tip, man. I think that's a good little subject we should tread a little more, man, on, man. Especially with what's going on now, man. There's a lot of, you know, the youth. Especially out here, man, in the Bridgeport area. I don't know how crazy it's been in Norwalk, but there's been a lot of shootings, bro. You know, the gangs. I believe it was right before the New Year, there was a drive-by met for somebody else, and
yep.
a 12-year-old boy got shot in the crossfire. Yo, my son is 12, bro. I don't know what I would do. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. So, I don't know. Let's kind of talk about that, man. What do you think? What's the difference, man, between our youth and their youth? I mean, you know, there's similarities and there's big differences, but I mean, that I remember, you didn't always hear about all these murders. There'd be beefs and little gangs and, you know, shit like that,
yep.
fights. But man, like, these kids have taken it to a whole nother level. Like, and there's no empathy. These kids are killing each other over like Facebook posts, bro. And just stupid little beefs. Like,
these kids are killing each other over Facebook posts, and these kids are killing each other for Facebook posts.
Yeah, yeah. And as a matter of fact, the little brother, and I don't remember his name, unfortunately, but rest in peace, who passed away in that drive-by. The dudes that you know did the drive-by were trying to get cats that had said something on Facebook that they never even met face to face. Bro, that's out of this world for me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm scared for my son.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I'm scared for your son. I'm scared for, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I really have to be on top of my son and really have to, you know, show him what's what. And I don't know. What do you think it is that's going on, man? Because I'm still trying to figure it out myself.
I think it's an overabundance of information.
Mm.
I think the information age in that regard is not good for this. That's all they know is all of this stuff. But when I wanted to find something when I was younger, I had to dig for it.
Yeah.
And now the minute you and I are talking, my son's in the corner already looking it up and I don't even realize it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think it was a comedian that made he had a bit on it, but I think it hit the nail on the head. It might've been Dave Chappelle. He was talking about how when he was little, the space shuttle exploded and the world stopped. You know what I mean? And nowadays, if something like that happened, it would be like one of 38 things. It might not even be on TV or on the internet because there's so much other stuff that they want to show you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just a swipe.
Yeah, yeah. Swipe, so too swipe. Much information. Yo, these kids are desensitized. And the first time I saw a fight on TV, I was borderline traumatized. You know what I'm like, saying? It's crazy. How real is that? You know, but now
they have WorldStar. It's a whole website dedicated to that shit.
Yes.
Bro.
And it encourages that.
Yeah.
It encourages that. Yeah. So
I think it's things like that, and not to cut you off, but I think it's things like that. WorldStar, too much info. And I also think it also does have to do, again, with the parenting, you know, fathers, mothers,
yes,
you know, certain people not having the father or the mother involved,
yep,
obviously, but you know, because everything it always starts at home, man. Like, whether or not, like, my son is 12, he could be wilding out doing some of this shit, but because I'm on his ass,
yeah,
I'm on his ass,
yep,
and I'm on his ass more not because I don't trust him, but because I'm afraid of what he has to face out
agreed.
There, and I have to teach him about that,
agreed.
You know what I mean? So. Yeah, man, it's a scary thing, but definitely the parenting is something. But everything with the music is different. All they talk about for a minute, it was about Pop and Lean and Zans, and you know, even still now, like, this is what these kids are listening to. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember us. I mean, our music wasn't perfect either, but when we were listening to like Mobb Deep, Wu Tang, it was about, you know, there was beefs and selling drugs and shit. And you know what I had heard somewhere? They were like, yo, our generation was the generation of like the gangs and the selling the drugs, and these new generations are the ones who came up from the drug addicts,
doing the drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
Our generation bragged about selling drugs. They do the drugs.
Yeah, and it's crazy. And we weren't right either, but like, I don't know, man. It's like the common sense level is not there like it was, man.
Well, it's frightening. As a father, it's frightening.
Yeah.
I think these kids have a different voice, and I think they're just as crazy as our parents thought we were.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I think every generation, you know, but it wasn't so. But I just think it's maintaining that dialogue. You know, I got a young man in my life who's a rapper, and I want to encourage him, and he's his lyrics, I'm like, oh my God. You know what? It's not even the content in that it's bad. You know what it is? I think especially these young MCs have to realize or come to terms with how much am I saying that is actually me and how much am I saying that's actually not. That's very simply put. And if you realize the garbage, that's what's garbage. What are you talking about? What content are you putting out there that's even worth anything? You know what I mean? Yeah. But when you're talking about yourself, that's different. I like a lot of people that a lot of people make fun of. I like Drake. I like J. Cole. I like these rappers that I like Eminem. I like these rappers that sound vulnerable in some way, shape, or form and expose themselves in a way that they don't sound tough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I like a lot of other stuff too. I love Mobb Deep and the old school absolutely. And, you know,
I get you.
These crazy Luna 6ix9ine, he's in jail now, right? But, some of his stuff, I'm like, you know, I like a little bit of everything. If me and you are in the car and it's just us, it's one kind of music. I'm a DJ, you know, whatever. Absolutely. But what separates to me the good music and the stuff that people should be hearing, even if it's bad, just let it be genuine. And this crap isn't.
Yeah,
it isn't. That's a big problem. I can have a talk with my son about this song if you're actually saying something.
Yeah.
Even if it sounds violent, because we're prepared for that. It's not as shocking for us as it was for our parents. Mm-hmm. But when you're glorifying garbage.
Yeah, and posing. And now my kid's, there's a lot of posers.
Now my kid is dancing to this dumbass shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's frightening. It's frightening because I'm getting to the point where I'm waiting to have conversations with my son that I know he's aware of. I'm watching a PG movie and they say something that I'm like, yo, this is PG. And it's everything, all the media, all the content, all the music.
Bro,
the
cartoons. And it's the cartoons for years. Like, as a parent, you don't really pay attention. You just want to put something on to get your child to chill out.
Yep.
You know, but if you really sit down and listen to these cartoons, bro, they're talking some crazy nonsense.
My son told me, Daddy, I don't watch this show anymore. And I was like, why not? You don't like it? He's like, no, the content isn't for children. Yo, he's nine. He's nine. That's real talk. Last month he said that to me. That's funny, man.
But you know what? That right there. You might not think, but that's important, man. How many 9-year-olds do you know might say that? They might not. That's, you know what that is? That's you doing your job.
Well,
you know
I appreciate that. I'm on top of it.
Absolutely.
I'm on top. But you know what? Here's the thing, man. And this is, and I'm maybe you could relate. I'm sure you can. I came from a generation where they were like, don't do that or I'll get in your ass.
Yeah.
All right.
Me too.
Me, I don't threaten it. I'm like, look, I don't care what you watch. I want to know what you're watching.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And we're going to determine. I trust his judgment, and he knows I trust his judgment, so he doesn't foul that up, you know, for now. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So that makes it easy. I take interest in what he's doing. When I'm cooking dinner and he's watching something, I got him a little Chromebook, you know, so I can watch, you know, whatever I want. Some boring, you know, the Trump show, he calls it, because I try to stay on point. But he watches his thing. When I hear him giggling, I stop what I'm doing. I walk over. I'm like, hey, buddy, what do you want? I take interest in it,
and
I laugh with him. So I think that's it. I mean, not to revert back to the page or whatever, but it's always the message. It's always the message. It's always conveying that it's not that hard. And when I was a certain age, I thought it was hard.
Yeah.
And it's everybody. It's just relationships. It's love. Yeah. You know, we talk about Raph, Five Fingers, you know, a mutual. I love this dude.
Good brother,
it's just that. He has made it cool to love, man.
Yeah, yeah.
He's made it cool to love. And he's saying things that I'm like, wow, why didn't I think of that? And if you know him, you know that's so genuine.
Yeah.
And the dude's a beautiful dude on every level, man.
Absolutely, man.
You know, like, shouts out, Five Fingers. I love that dude, man.
Shout out to Raph, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I know that dude from playing softball. He's one of the best players I ever knew. Didn't know he did anything else. Then I found out he was a DJ. We did some gigs together. And one of the best DJs I've ever met.
Dope.
No idea he had any artistic talent. And I knew he was a good dude. And you know what? Had this smooth confidence about himself that always carried over with whatever he did. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And you want to be around people like that.
Absolutely.
Who wants to be around the woe is me? Nothing ever works out for me. Who wants to, you know?
Yeah, now Raph, man, Raph, Five Fingers, man, he's doing something really dope. And he made it popular, and it, you know, within his people and just other people that are learning about him and what he does.
Yep.
To love more than ever. That's his slogan. And shout out to Raph, another Norwalk brother, man. We got a lot of talent out of Norwalk, you know what I'm saying, that people might not realize. But again, shout out to Norwalk, man. But yeah, man, I, as you were saying, you know, I remember being a little strict with my son.
Yep.
Because I was brought up that way too. You know, at spankings every once in a while, nothing crazy, you know, but then I had to step back and be like, damn, this is the shit I didn't like that my parents did to me. So let me fall back. So now, you know, it's been years since my son's gotten a spanking. I might have to give him a little whack in the back of the head or something like that, but nothing crazy. But I don't want him to fear me.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want him to fear failing and thinking I'm going to, you know, punish him or spank him or something. He's 12, so the kid is big as me, so he's not afraid of none of that. But just, you know, for the conversation, I don't want him to not trust me and open up to me. So I stopped that a long time ago, and now it's like you said, like, what are you doing? What are you listening to? Cool. All right. That's awesome. All right, check this song out, Dad. All right, cool. Boom. He's the one who put me on to this dude called that passed away recently, Extentacion. Which, you know, I would have put him in the mumble rap, corny rapper thing era, which he kind of is in that era. But if you listen to the kid's music, man, I mean, it is pretty certain stuff is pretty profound, man. And it made me a fan of his.
Yeah.
And what's dope is, you know, I put him on too. Like, yo, check out this Rakim. Check out this Nas. He knows I'm a Nas fan. Like, what you call it? Twins will come on with Fat Joe and Pun. And when that verse comes on, dead in the middle, a little Italy, little did we know that we riddled some middlemen who didn't do diddly. All
right.
He will do the shit point from point. No stopping, no stutter, nothing. No, so, you know, I want to be able to be like, yo, like, all right, this is cool, but check this. This is where that came from.
Yeah.
And listen to what they're saying. Listen to what they, you know what I mean? And you kind of.
That's B-boy stuff, and that's daddy stuff. I'm with you, man, because I got stuff I play, and I'm like, don't be saying these words in school.
Yeah,
and don't say them around your mother. And you know, it's like, and it's all love. She knows what time it is. But it's
she's from the era too.
I don't shield him from things because I treat him as if he's ready for them.
Yes,
but
me,
I'm not.
Me too.
But the stuff, it's like you said, Mobb Deep and well, nah, I don't go there with him. But like Nas and Jay-Z, I'm a big Jay-Z fan, so he has a lot of Jay-Z. But and Kanye West, and it's cool when they recognize the music. But at least you know what they're listening to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what they're listening to. And
so you know how to come at it.
Yeah. You know how to handle it. Make him aware. Absolutely. It's funny. And again, I was blessed because I'm a dad late. I saw a lot of my best friends be parents and compromise on some of those things. Taking their kids to R-rated movies. And I'm like, yo, you're doing that? And he's like, yeah, he's right next to me. I know, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be a proponent of taking your kids to inappropriate movies, you know. But as long as there's no gratuitous violence or sex, I don't mind a little bit of language and some gunfire, you know. Especially if you like superheroes, you know what I'm saying. So,
yeah, and you know what? And again, to stay on the parenting topic because I think it's such a huge topic.
Please,
like you know, I don't like I said, I don't want to reprimand them the same way I was reprimanded. And you know, I had to learn a lot of shit that I didn't learn from my folks that I should have. Like, I learned about sex. Not from my father or mother. I learned about budgeting, you know, things as simple as budgeting and things like that. Not from my and so I want to be there and teach my kid and just build him up to the shit that, again, like I said earlier, that I wasn't put on to make him smarter and a little bit more ahead at, you know, at life than what I was at his age.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I also think that we're better equipped as parents as our parents were. And I think we grew up.
Because we learned from the mistakes.
Absolutely.
We learned from the mistakes.
And I think they would say so. You know what I'm saying? So you kind of, you know, hey, what we were talking about before, man. First generation, this country, our parents come from different customs, different courtesies, different way of life, different priorities around different people. And, you know, we're all trying to understand this world.
Yes.
And I think you and I are better equipped for it.
Absolutely.
If you were in Costa Rica or El Salvador?
Either or.
If you were raising your child in either one of those environments, you'd probably be a different dad.
Absolutely.
As I would be in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And equipped for... I would not be equipped for my father's generation raising a child during that time when I was a kid.
Oh yeah.
In the same way that my father wouldn't be, you know what I'm saying? So, so to your point about not being happy in the way that, you know, some of the things that you would change about the way you were raised, that's because we're better equipped.
And
you know what? We should be better equipped.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that speaks a lot to the kind of dad that you want to be because you're aware of that fact.
Because don't get me wrong, like my you know, my parents, they were strict. You know, they came here, they were already in their 20s, so they're accustomed to their culture and everything. So they came here raising me how they were raised. Now, I would always look at it like, yo, how are you trying to raise me? Like, how you were raised, I get it, some things, but like, we're here too. Like, and I would hate it, you know what I mean? But I can't thank them enough now.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? I can't thank them enough because they were so strict. My mom didn't let me be out in the street like that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I was inside drawing. I was playing sports and all that. And I used to be mad at the time.
Yep.
But a lot of those kids that I would have hung out with back then are either dead in jail or and that makes you think right there. You
Absolutely.
Know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Another thing I wanted to bring up, though, too, on parenting, man, with my son.
Yep.
You know, I know they teach him about drugs and all that stuff in school, but, you know, there was one time I remember he was about, I think, 9 years old, and I think they were starting to kind of teach them about certain, you know, the drug class, the health class or whatever, and so I found a video on meth, like people that were on meth, and it shows them when they first got arrested and did the meth,
yep.
And it goes and breaks down, like, every time they got arrested and how they changed their faces and all that, so I put both of my sons onto that, and they watched it, and they were like, you know, pretty much, oh shit, like, this is crazy. Kind of just to instill it my way.
Yep.
It wasn't like a scare tactic because this is reality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, look, do you want to go through this shit? Do you want to look like this? Do you want to get locked up? Look how their features change from a normal looking person to, like, you know, someone who looks like they're half dead.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the type of stuff that I've done with him. You mentioned where I'm from, Costa Rica. One of the most important things I think I've ever did for him was to bring him to Costa Rica. He's 12 years old now. I think he was 9 or 10 years old when I first brought him.
Yep.
And he just got to see the culture, a little bit of the poverty, because, you know, it's not as enriched as over here.
Yep.
How the people live, eat, spend money, everything. Cause that's what was so important for me when I was little. Because I used to come back home
mm-hmm.
and tell my friends about what I used to see in Costa Rica. I used to see things in El Salvador, poverty and all that I didn't see here, understand here. So that right there, since I was a little kid, because they used to bring me since I was a baby, that's what planted the whole self-mathematics thing in me.
Got it.
And because of that, is if I didn't have that experience, Tone, I might be some crazy materialistic dude that would just care about yachts and bitches and boats and parties.
Yeah, big gold chains.
That's a really that's a really big teacher, man. Traveling, I tell people all the time, but yeah, man, that it was so important for me to bring my son and have him see kind of the things that I saw, man, because it's that culture that you bring them back to kind of the motherland of who they really are, and they resonate with that, man.
Yeah.
They feel it. And yo, I know he's a different kid and gonna be a different man because of that, man.
Absolutely. I just brought my son to Puerto Rico in 2016.
Nice.
And it was the first time, actually not the first time officially, the first time he traveled. So my son was born and I lost my mother 3 weeks later.
Oh wow.
So forever, the best day of my life and the worst day of my life are 3 weeks apart. Ironically, Memorial Day is in between. And wow. But in the spirit of what you're saying, my mother's last gift was to obligate me to keep her close to him. I gotta do that. The only way he's gonna know my mother ever, out of all my nieces and nephews, the only way my son is gonna know my mother is through me.
Yeah.
And part of that is the culture, the upbringing.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to bring her to Puerto Rico. We visited her grave, and we flew a kite at El Morro, which
nice.
Was kind of on my little bucket, my son and I bucket list or whatever.
Okay.
But it's definitely. I'm all about being a dad, man.
Yeah,
it's funny this went this way because that's
okay.
Exactly the page, and I'm glad it came up. But yeah, it is. I want to be the best dad that my dad taught me to be, and then some. And the only reason and then some is because I know my dad wants me to be and then some. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely,
it's been a very fun voyage. I wish I had the lifestyle to have like 50 of them, not 50 of them, but no, I'd have as many kids as I possibly could, man.
Just
because, right? You just love it and watching them learn and become who they are. And it's a part of you.
It's a beautiful experience, man, to have a child, man. It teaches you so much about yourself.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like you just want to, like I said, you want to give them everything you didn't have. You don't want them to go through any of the sorrows, pain, hurt, none of that. And so it is. It's so intriguing and interesting to watch a little creature, for a lack of words.
Yep.
And watch them grow from that to becoming a child, an infant. A little teenager, a little human being.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's beautiful, man.
If anything, he's my biggest teacher.
Yeah.
He even inherits my fears.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, when you see that, and, and he's my biggest teacher.
That's dope, man.
And it's funny how he checks me and doesn't even know it. And I love it. But it's what you hit on it before. I don't want my son to fear me. I don't want him to fear me.
Not at all.
If that fear ever goes, and what you got nothing left. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I treat him with respect, and I command his respect,
mm-hmm.
and I think that'll last longer.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That fear thing that's that's divide and conquer. You know what I'm saying? You're dividing that.
Builds resentment.
That yeah. You're dividing that relationship that you could have, that love and everything. But yeah, man, Yamoyo, man, we're about an hour in, man. That's a great show, man. I think, you know, anything else you want to touch up on before we go, man?
No, this was fun.
It was very fun, man. I'm glad you came up, man. I appreciate you for coming up.
Absolutely.
Giving me your time, man.
No, and I'm honored. I see what you're doing. Congratulations, man.
Thank you, man.
Because I haven't gotten to tell you in person. Really quick, I don't know how much time we have, but we know each other from the MySpace days.
Yeah.
And this is probably the longest conversation you and I have ever had.
Absolutely.
So it's funny that all the events that we go to, I know you're a big hip-hop fan. I'm a big hip-hop fan. I got some things coming on the DJ Moyo tip.
Okay.
And I don't want to talk about them now.
Nah.
Shouts out to my boy Jazam. I'm taking him out of retirement. And
so what we'll do, not to cut you off real quick, we'll have you back up when you do those things to help promote, and you know.
I'm very excited about that. Then coming soon.
Absolutely. Man. Well, listen, let the people know your social media as far as like if they can reach out to you about, you know, even if it's, you know, if it's, it doesn't have to be your personal page. It could just be the, you know, the parent page. Let them know, man.
So parents trying to figure it out is on Facebook. Moyo Media is a lot of the music stuff and where you could look for the up and coming events and projects and people that I want to collaborate with. That's on Facebook as well. I am Daddy524 on Instagram, which is... not a lot of people on there, but that's kind of my private space. But by all means, a lot of people, I'm sure that'll be hearing this, are probably on Instagram, and I want to reach out to more people with all the stuff that I have going on. And then DJ Moyo CT on Twitter, which is that's a lot of fun. I've been poking into that a lot more often.
And on the next show, we're gonna get into the DJ stuff. We touched upon it a little bit, but you know, we got to go through the history a little more. So that'll be, I think, a good one too, man.
Nah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely,
and,
brother. Thank you for being here, man. And real quick, man, my people, you heard the social media for DJ Moyo. Check him out. Any questions, hit him up on that parenting page. Like we spoke, man, parenting is very important, man. There's a lot of great ideas and talks and links and things you could learn from there, man. But please, once again, my people, check us out on Backyard Mecca on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Don't forget to check the All New Gorilla Podcast Network on Instagram as well. GPN on Facebook. Check out all the new shows. We have a few new shows starting for the year. Man, listen, man, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you guys for tuning in and supporting us and our listeners and our guests and everything. And just, man, I'm going to leave you guys like I always leave you, man, because it's a saying that I believe in 100%. If you could accumulate that thought in your mind, that means it is out there. And if it is out there, all you have to go do is go get that shit. Peace.
Tune in next week for another episode of the Backyard Mecca Show podcast. This is a Gorilla Podcast Network production.